Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Disappointment as Stanley stick the knife into our top six hopes. Only a miracle now can save the Addicts. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you're well. My name is Louis Mendez, and joining me on this week's show to look back at yesterday's fairly dire 1-1 draw with Accrington Stanley, a late leveller for the Addicts that, I don't know, rescues our playoff hopes, maybe, probably doesn't because it's a long old shot now, but maybe makes it more interesting, and even if we lost, probably didn't anyway, so who knows, who cares? joining me to do that is Mark Newby. How do you, Mark?
We're hanging by our fingertips, Lou. Yeah, we're hanging by our fingertips.
Yeah, we are doing everything we can to just to extend the show for another week, that to pretend that we still got a chance at the playoffs, really. But the game itself yesterday was obviously a bit of a tough one. I'm just glad to be on the other side of it, really.
Well, after Tuesday night's kick in the stomach, it was nice to think, you know, we can do it ourselves. But, you know, Accrington had been the beneficiaries themselves during the week of a late leveller. So it just shows it happens all the way round. So it's funny because when you draw with a late leveller and it feels almost like a win, but because of the situation we're in, it's quite hard to feel like up about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, they play back our commentary clips on BBC London, and I listened back to my one after the equalising goal, and honestly, it sounded like someone had just, I don't know, gone to a funeral or something. It was the most boring, and I just couldn't get enthusiastic even for the leveller, partly because of the performance and partly because I don't think we've got any chance now. I mean, a long, long shot of getting into those playoffs, unfortunately. But anyway, so on this evening's show, we're about to hear the highlights. Luckily, Terry enjoyed the equaliser a bit more than I did. We're also here, of course, from the Addicts boss, Nigel Atkins. Me and Benji spoke to him after the game yesterday. We've got your tweets and emails as well. Or any emails, really, because it's the social media boycott. I haven't actually put out any invitation for tweets, and no one's really sent any anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But we've got loads of emails to get to. And then we will have a look ahead to the Lincoln game, and maybe by the end of the show I'll be a little bit more positive slash naive and believe that we can still make those playoffs. Mathematically, we can. Likelihood is unlikely, but if we can win on Tuesday, then at least it gives us a fighting hope going into the final day of the season. So, Mark, I mean, just before we hear the highlights then, you know, we go into the game after the disappointment of Tuesday, as you said, the last-minute equaliser, knowing that we need a performance and a goal, and a win even, I should say. And we didn't get either, if I'm being honest. It was a scrappy old game, you know, congested in the middle of the park. No one really was able to take control of it. You'd have to say Accrington probably shaded it. I'd say the better side, even though there weren't many chances created at either end. And then we battled through and just about hung in there and got a point with the last kick of the game. But it really, I don't know, for me it just felt fairly insignificant if we weren't going to win. You win that game, it's a different story. But the fact you take 0 points or 1 point, we'd be on 67. We'd be in the same situation, really, where we'd need to win both games.
Well, it was strange because at one point yesterday, it's the bottom eight teams were all losing and the top eight, apart from us, were all winning. And you just thought to yourself, this is just, oh, it's just nothing's going in our favour. You'd look, you know, was there going to be a reaction, a positive reaction from Tuesday after that? Would, you know, would Nigel lift them up and say, right, you know, forget about that. This is another game. There was a lot of pressure on us possibly to win this. I was slightly confused, shall we say, about the formation, why he decided to change for what's been serving us pretty well over the last few games, having a set four. And, you know, I don't know whether Famo, Innes and Pearce can actually work as a three. I mean, it gives us a bit of threat at corners, but we didn't get any. So it's difficult to know whether he was just experimenting with a formation towards next season or he thought this would be... I mean, I saw that he said Elvis would like looking to negate Stanley, but I'm thinking, play to your strengths. And our strengths for the last couple of games have been having a four. So, you know, and I think it just went on from then. Then midfield just didn't look right. And then, you know, wing-backs, full-backs. It just didn't look right all round. And, you know, if we'd lost... You're right, I think the hope would have been all but gone. Yes, it is in our hands. Can we pick off Lincoln? Because they're going to be really down because they've, you know, thrown us right away a 3-0 lead. But Hull here, you know, I'm fed up of welcoming people here at the last day of the season and them going up as champions. I think it's Brighton, Burnley and one more.
Bournemouth,
yes, who we've had to clap onto the pitch as champions. I'm thinking, no, I'm fed up of that.
Yeah, well, one day it'll be us, and that's what we can look forward to. I guess the only difference, you know, if the only thing that equaliser we got makes a difference for now, so if we win both our games, if we've been on 67 instead of 68, we'd be on 73, and then Portsmouth could draw and possibly still be above us in terms of goal difference, obviously depending on how many we win by. So the extra point that we get yesterday does make a slight difference that if Portsmouth only draw and we win both our games, so we'll go up to 71, 70. Four, and then Portsmouth will be on 73, so it doesn't bring goal difference into account, as long as obviously the Oxford don't win as well. So that's the only difference it's made. So, you know, it wasn't enough to get me overly excited at the time. But anyway, let's have a listen to the highlights from Charlton TV. Steve Brown, of course, was alongside Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Martson with the quick throw-in. Now back to Forster Kasky. Shaped across it. Finds Martson again, though. Martson looking to take his player on. Instead, feeds it to Washington. He's got a shooting opportunity. Takes it and over the bar. First shot in anger by the Addicts. Just avoids the bar of Toby Savage's goal. As McConville sends it away to the Charlton right-hand side. Innes will head it away, but it'll drop to Morgan. Thinks about the shot, takes it. Comfortably over the bar in the end.
It goes long towards, it's left towards Stockley. Jumps with Rogers, balls up in the air again, and Stockley controls. Lays it off for Gilby. Gilby goes for goal. It's gone wide. I think the goalkeeper had that covered from our angle. Might have looked a little bit closer.
Yeah, no, I think he just drags it a little bit wide, doesn't he, Gilby?
Him on the left-hand side of Conville. Looking for the run of Charles. Being tracked by Innes. Forced out. Turns. Innes, he opens up a shooting opportunity. Goes for Innes. Hit the bar. There might have been a save by Ben Amos in the process. Headed down by Famo. Cleared away in the end. But warning shot from Accrington. I think Ben Amos got a touch on that. This is the half-time whistle. It's Accrington 0, Charlton 0. With the free kick, headed on by Stockley. It's a good header as well. Anike, can he get on the end of it? Can! It's a shot at the near post, saved by Savin. Charlton out the corner.
Yeah, Accrington claiming offside, but that's, I mean, that is route one football, isn't it?
fires it towards the far post. Innes jumps, it's a good header, and it's wide.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good delivery and it's well attacked by Innes.
Forward by Phillips, looking for the run of Pritchard, and Innes trying to get across, but Pritchard gets there first, being forced away. Eckerton go back. So ball to near post. It's a shot for Bishop, saved by Amos, and Gunter clears.
Ball comes in, it's to the edge of the 6 yard box deep. It's still in around there, and it's trying to be passed in, I think, from Rogers on that right hand side of the penalty area. Cleared away by Tretney this time. Gets to the next header. Trying to get to the next one. Morgan attacks it and gets there first. Altrincham will try and spring a break with Pritchard. Goes past Famwo into the edge of the penalty area. Pritchard shapes to his right foot, trying to find a shooting position. Gets it and scores. 36 minutes into the second half, and Accrington take the lead.
I mean, in terms of, they've looked more dangerous than we have since the changes, I believe. You know, Miller's come on a sub, gone on the left-hand side. I don't think he's had a touch yet. They've suddenly looked like they're going to play through midfield. I'm not quite sure why Famo's gone out to try and win that high up the pitch. You know, in terms of a centre-half, leaving his position and going 15 yards short to get caught in no-man's land and then having to recover, it affects everybody behind you. Suddenly your left back has to tuck in, your right back has to tuck in, the other centre-half can't pick up his man anymore. He has to adjust his positioning because he's not got his partner next to him. And at that point, you've just got to back off, narrow up, and force your opponents wide. We didn't get quite tight enough on the shot itself either.
And I said that free kick might have been one of the last moments. Well, Charlton have a free kick and a chance to send this into the Accrington penalty area. And can Charlton redeem themselves at the death here?
Yeah, this is last chance saloon, isn't it? You can imagine this is the last attack.
Morgan with a free kick, sends it into the penalty area. And it's a touch-in by Anike, and he's scored. Chucks Anike. Gets on the end of the free kick into the box and he's buried it, and Charlton a level.
That's a hell of a delivery, isn't it? And Elby Morgan, and he's whipped it in behind Accrington's back line. They've not dropped quick enough. They can't get it. So now they're relying on the keeper Savin to come out and make a claim. It just drops 3 or 4 yards short of him. Credit to Chucks Anike for the run. Credit for him getting a half volley on that and controlling it past the oncoming keeper into the goal. And, you know,
well, in terms of how it affects our position in the table and how it affects the situation being in our own hands, it doesn't. But in terms of at least a little confidence boost, that must help us. That is the final whistle. It's the final action of the game. And out of nothing, Charlton have grabbed the point.
There we go. I told you Terry enjoyed it a bit more than I did, at least. So there you go. I don't know why I was so dour yesterday. I do think it was the performance rather than the importance of the goal that got me, because I still think, you know, we're asking a lot now, Mark, you know, so let's have a look at that final day. And this is assuming that we definitely go and beat Lincoln, which was obviously a big assumption in the first place. But, you know, Charlton, we're playing Lincoln, and then on the final day, we're at home to the champions, Hull City. Portsmouth are playing Accrington. Now, this is an Accrington side that, as we found out ourselves yesterday, and as Portsmouth found out in midweek, are a bit of a tough nut to crack. And you know, they dropped points against them before. So it's not unheard of that it could happen. So there is that. And also, you know, Oxford are playing, they just beat Shrewsbury yesterday, but they're playing a Burton side who have had a good second half of the season under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. So if we can get to the final day of the season and it still be possible, then it will be possible. But it is a hell of a long shot now, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, we thought that end of last season, we thought if we can get to the last day and it's in our hands, OK, we were playing Leeds, but we didn't turn up, and you know, we all know the result of that. It's difficult because the four teams all got relegated yesterday from our league, so there's no jeopardy at all. Accrington, okay, but you can say, oh, you know, you want to finish as high as possible and get them up, and but will Burton be looking at different players, you know, in different positions, isn't it? It's a nothing game, so it gives them an opportunity. I think if you had a look through the leagues yesterday, Birmingham played Cardiff. Bowes put out a completely different side, so he could look at it. They got spanked, but he looked at it. Now, if either Burton or Oxford decide, you know, we're not going to get up for anything, let's try some new players, you know, it could backfire. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, it is in our hands, but I don't know. It's so difficult having two at home. You know, the Lincoln one, you know, I'd have liked to have played them when they were decimated through injury. But like I said, you know, they had a 3-0 lead and they could have possibly been a chance of automatic promotion. How much is that going to kick him in the stomach? I mean, it depends what changes he makes for Tuesday night, because I think he's now thinking, right, now I've got to find a combination of players, you know, who are going to do stuff. And then Hull come in here on the last day of the season. I think it's set up for a McGuinness hat trick, but, you know, with no fans to celebrate in front of, it won't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, I've written down just on my notes before the show, hopeful, question mark. Are you hopeful, Mark? I mean, I'm going back towards the Tom Wallin miserable route again, that we're not going to do it, unfortunately. And, I mean, that would seem certainly the most likely now. How do you assess our chances?
Well, am I hopeful? Ever hopeful. But really, I think, you know, one of the things I am, after all these years of following Charlton, is a realist. And I don't think we will. I think we'll come up short. And I just think to myself, you know, a few weeks before Beau was decided to leave, he said about Charlton, you know, we've overachieved this season, and he got absolutely pelters for it. But in theory, he was right. We started the season behind everybody else in terms of where we were with players, in preparation and everything, and we did well. And we built up a bit of head of steam, and then we had the injuries come in, and then, of course, we started, you know, losing game after game, and then we had all the court case, etc., etc. And so in January, when we can bring in a few more bodies, it helped, you know, bringing in Stockley. But have we overachieved? I think, you know, he's right. We have overachieved this season for our start, for our preparation, for everything. So, you know, I think at the start of the season, most fans would have said, look, anywhere mid-table, not worried about relegation, maybe not in the playoffs, but mid-table. I think someone had done a poll, and that was, you know, most people thought we'd finish somewhere between sort of like 10th and 16th. So, you know, you've got to look at it for what it is, and as an overall, you know, it's been disappointing games. There's been brilliant games. So it's a typical season for Charlton. It's all about the rebuild in the summer now. I don't think it's as bad as our colleague Mr. Wallin puts out. I don't think it's a strong division this year. I think this would have been an easier one to get out than possibly next year. But we don't know what Nigel's got in place and in plan, and the players coming in. You know, we've got 12 out of contract. He brings in 12 who hit the ground running. I mean, Chris Powell brought in 20, and we walked the league. So, you know, if Nigel Atkins gets the player he needs and they get him in a way, I think there's opportunities for youngsters, and he's going to pick up some bargains, and we'll look to start next season with a positive vibe.
Hopefully. And I think it sort of sums up the feeling of around our hopes now of getting into the playoffs, that we've already started to focus so much on next season. But we do have to talk about that game yesterday up at the Crown Ground. Accrington, it turns out, is a very long way away to drive in yesterday. When you got there, I mean, the ground is a reminder that you're in League One. I've got a lot of time for Accrington, actually, as a club. Really nice people up there, and obviously the chairman Andy Holt interviewed him a couple of years ago, and he seems like a man with his head screwed on. They were doing a lot of building work obviously when we got there, so we were basically sat in a stand that had a roof but didn't have a wall behind it, and they just replaced it with loads of tarpaulin. So it was quite windy and a bit ramshackle, and then the performance matched it really, because it was a horrible game of football. I don't think, you know, as I mentioned, we sort of packed out the midfield that was really overly congested. We never got the ball down and played. I think Benji points out in the interview with Nigel later that I think, other than Piercy, that's three central midfielders were the people who touched the ball fewest in the Charlton side. It just showed that we just were unable at all to get our game going. And that was, you know, I mean, it is a disappointment, because, and obviously Accrington will have played a big part in that, making the game bitty and difficult, and looking to get the ball to their more dangerous players when they could. But, you know, considering the importance of the game and the result that we needed, you'd hope somehow that we would have found a way to have performed a bit better.
Yeah, but like I say, I think obviously they work on a shape during the week and set themselves up into play a certain way with movement. But once you congest your midfield, you stop the space you can get yourself into. And you know, with the, like I say, the personnel with a three at the back, is it going to work? Possibly not. You do have to give the opposition credit, because, you know, there's very few teams possibly in this league who will just roll over. You know, OK, Bristol Rovers did a few weeks ago, but, you know, I think we caught them well. But it's one of those days where if you score early and you've got something to build on, but the longer it goes on, you start thinking, OK, 75 minutes and it's OK, it's going at 0-0, maybe we can nick a late one. And then suddenly, boom, 81 minutes on the clock for guys driven forward, you know, shot from outside the area, back of the net. And you're thinking, hey, it's not going to be our day. So, you know, to pick up an equaliser in sort of like the last breath of a referee's whistle is, like I said, normally you'd be sort of like thinking, oh, that really sort of like lifts you, or it feels like a win when you've got that last one, but it doesn't. It was good to see Albie get on. You know, I think he is possibly, you know, going to do well next season.
The only thing I'll question, I mean, you can't, it's, you feel a bit funny questioning it now, because we did go on to score after it happened. It did seem like a strange time to make a double sub, basically an added time. I mean, if you want to go out and make the changes and affect the game, you would have felt that would have happened a bit earlier. I mean, but then it did affect the game, because Albie set it up, so I don't know, maybe I shouldn't question that.
Well, I think technically you're supposed to add 30 seconds for every sub. So, substitution made, not per player, but every time you make a substitution. So you put on two, adds another 30 seconds of a time. So, now you can put on as many as you like, it seems. So possibly they were thinking, you know, like, we'll get one more opportunity in this last 4 or 5 minutes. The referee's going to have to add some time on for it, which he did. And it's paid off that way. So tactically brilliant, you know, by giving us that extra minute 30, and we've scored from it. So if he hadn't made that sub, you know, and we got that free kick, was someone on a pitch who could do the same thing Albie did? You know, we're right. It's all ifs and buts. So, yeah, it is weird, because normally you're thinking that they're making those kind of subs just to slow the game down kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes the subs get on, and with that time, we don't even touch the ball, and that always makes me laugh when they're shaking hands as they're walking off. You're thinking, well done, yeah, well done for warming up down the side for 20 minutes, mate. I've just been watching, you've not touched the ball. And so, it's paid off. It's weird. It was good to see Shinny there. So, it's difficult, because you just don't know now for Tuesday. I mean, it's... This is one of those games where if it happened at any time of the season earlier, you'd instantly forget about it. But because it's like we've got two games left now, this was an important one, but it's the same. The Crew game was important.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting point you make there, actually, because I think Nigel sort of mentioned at one point, you know, maybe if this was in November, that's quite a good point away from home. But obviously, you know, an Acton side who are quite difficult to play against, but because of the importance of the game, again, I mean, it does feel like, you know, we really needed to go for three, and maybe that clouds our judgment a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's strange, like I say, because you just, with one eye on this, one eye on Tuesday, it's difficult for the manager to go in. Obviously, he'll go in and say, right, who's fit, who's picked up anything, who's ready to go. You know, because Lincoln's just going to be another challenge, and more of a challenge than Accrington in theory. So, like I say, I think it was just a weird formation. I think you play to your strengths and let the other team worry about that, because they would have watched a couple of our games, maybe the Bristol game, maybe the Crew game. You know, their analysts, and seeing what we're good at, what helped us score, and let's negate that. And you know, Crew managed it with their two guys, who did really well and got lots of space and time in pockets where we weren't. And yesterday, like you said, it was just almost like a game of head tennis.
Yeah,
you know, you just want it to stick to somebody. And you know, Washington and Stockley, it's a combination. But I think if you've got Stockley, you've got to be playing you've got to have an out-and-out winger somewhere along the line just to try and get the ball. You can't be relying on your full-backs to get the crosses in, as good as they might be at crossing. If you're relying on them to bang crosses over all the time, they're going to be almost derelict in covering at the back. And, you know, even if you're playing three at the back, you're still going to need your full-backs to be motoring. And I don't know whether Gunter can still do that. And Martsen, you know, it's weird after playing him on one side, putting him back where he was. So,
yeah, I mean, it was, it did feel like, obviously, that, I mean, I do ask Nigel about the change in shape and asked if he felt like he got the reaction he was hoping for in the interview. And we'll hear that in a few moments' time. We should talk about the two goals. I mean, Joe Pritchard got there sort of 8 minutes from time or from the end of normal time, and it was a good individual goal. Maybe he was shown inside a little bit too easily, but a potential foul on Darren Pratley. I mean, quite early in the move, it was basically in Accrington's half, but it looked like he was challenged for a header, and the referee waved play on. Your overall views, Mark?
Well, it's one of those ones. It annoys you when we're in the Premiership and they've got VAR. And a goal's been scored. And then they go, oh, hold on, you know, looking back in the movement. Oh, you know, two days ago, their guy was offside. And you're thinking, no goal. I think if a referee hasn't given it, you react, you play to the whistle. It's simple as that. It's, you know, they can go for you, they can go against you. If the guy's run that far without someone putting a foot on him, taking him out, and he's had a crack and, you know, it's buried in the back of the net, you know, fair play to him, almost. You know, I just wish a few more of our midfielders decided to have a bang from outside the area.
Yeah,
I've said this before.
Yeah, I think we saw Gilby try it a couple of times yesterday. I think he had one, was it in the first half? That when it just wired, so it wasn't a half-decent effort. But yeah, no, I understand what your take on that. And obviously, apparently now, our stream didn't show the Charlton goal. It was showing a replay. So I'll just talk you through it. So basically, Anike picked the ball up inside his own area. And he slalomed through the whole team. It's a bit like Maradona's goal against England at the 86 World Cup. And then, you know, and then just got onto the goal line, looped it up and did an overhead kick into the top corner. It's arguably the greatest goal I've ever seen. But sadly, it won't go down in folklore because no one ever saw it on the stream.
See, I'd heard that he dribbled it all the way to the goal line, then dropped to his knees and headed it in.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lovely delivery from Albie, wasn't it? And it was one of those goals. Again, I think halfly my slightly muted reaction to it was because I thought he must have been offside because he's in so much space and just tapped it into the back of the net. But, you know, I mean, if we are to talk about Chucks and EK, some people would love to see him start more often. Obviously, we know, you know, it always seems to be that he has these fitness issues. That means he can't. But, I mean, he's proven time and time again when he comes off the bench how much he is effectively our main weapon.
Yeah, I mean, all you get is people saying, "Oh, he's got to start." But you know, I don't know how many 90 minutes he's got under his belt this season, but I'd be surprised if it was more than two. It's not good being an impact sub. It's no, every player wants to start every game, I'd have thought, you know. But you know, if you're better as an impact sub, it's what I thought DJ when he was coming to us would be good for the second half hour where you can run at tiring defence. I mean, I think if you look at a lot of Chuck's goals, they've come in the second half where he's come on and he's almost bullied his way through and slammed it in. And he scores some good goals, but he's used his physicality, he's used his power against a defence which is, you know, tiring. Now, if you start off is he going to be doing the same runs and movement and work if he starts from the beginning, or is he going to be trying to conserve a bit of energy for making those runs? It's hard to say. Look, you want the best striker you've got at the time to be on the pitch. So, you know, both him and Washington are in double figures. So, in theory, that would be your, you know, front two. However, you know, we know what Stockley is bringing to the game, which is headers. And, you know, good hold-up play sometimes and good movement. So, you know, who do you drop? I think for Washington's work rate, you have to keep him. And as unfortunately for Chucks, I think, you know, he will be that kind of impact sub. But I think that will go against us in the summer. If he's offered a contract by us, if he's offered a contract by someone else, he might say, well, I can either go somewhere else and, you know, some manager will tell him, you're my number one, you're the main guy, you're going to be starting. He's going to go there if but, he stays.
It surely it must come down to a fitness issue. I'm just looking at his stats now. You're right, actually. He's only completed the 90 minutes twice. Started 11 games this season, come off the bench 25 times, which is remarkable, and he's got 14 goals in the league campaign. So overall, I mean, you know, we've spoken about the disappointment of the result and the disappointment of the performance. I mean, it does feel like everything sort of caught up with us again in the last few weeks. We've been unable to find a way to win games all of a sudden at a time when we needed it most, and it's hard to put your finger on why. And I was asked this question yesterday, and I couldn't really give a succinct answer as to why all of a sudden it's turned away. Is it that overall we're just not quite good enough?
Yeah. Basically, there's no way to sugarcoat it and say, because, you know, everyone who's watched the same kind of games would just be looking at their radios and going, is this guy mad? Yes, I am. But no, we're just not good enough. And it's... whether it's a belief which wasn't there, or whether it's just the right personnel or the way they've been playing, or whether this is just one of those seasons, it's a transitional season. It's hard. I mean, I think if you look, you say about Accrington, they've won 10 at home. We've won 6. You know, and so a lot of these teams who are mid-table, their home form has been what's kept them up. Plymouth have won 11. You know, okay, so it's difficult to say, you know, where we are in respect to everyone else. Look, I always say you finish for season where you deserve to be. Do we deserve to be going up? No, we don't. You know, we can't honestly say that. There's been too many games where we've just been bad. Do we deserve to be relegated? Again, no, we don't, because there's been too many games where we have been very good. Unfortunately, it's the middling games in between where we've thrown away leads, and it's, you know, the amount of points we've dropped generally in a game, and we have that spate of all those worldy goals going against us, and you thought, you know, the world's not on your side. So if we finish 8th, 9th, 10th, I don't know how low down we can finish now. Have a look. No, we can finish 8th, unless Milton Keynes score about 50 goals. No, let's say we can finish 8th. That's where we deserve to finish. So, you know, take it on the chin and go, right, we weren't good enough this season. What needs to be corrected next season? We correct it.
Certainly. Right, let's hear from the man who will be having to do a lot of correcting in the summer if the what seems obvious now does happen and we don't get into the playoffs. Nigel Adkins, the Addicts boss, I spoke to him after yesterday's 1-0 draw with Accrington Stanley and asked for his thoughts on the game.
Well, listen, we've showed that resilience to keep going. You know, great ball in from Albie, and one substitution, and Chuck Sinike scores again. You know, he's half hour, gets him on the pitch, and probably had 35 minutes today, didn't he? So, but he's gone and scored again, which is good. Always going to be a difficult game. We said that. You give Accrington, John Coleman and Accrington Stanley a lot of credit. This is a very difficult place to come to. You know, we talk about the way they play, very direct. They score, have more shots than anybody, more crosses, more corners, more direct play. I think we nullified that for a great deal. We give them, we changed our formation. We were very big. We played 3 at the back, and we wanted to play the ball in their half of the pitch, because it's fair to say playing out from the back is probably not the ideal way to go and approach it. So we've had to adapt the way. Obviously, Accrington do that all the time. We've adapted our way. So it wasn't a pretty game from my point of view. Very stop-start, free kicks all the time. The referees tried to let things go. I thought for their goal, it was a foul on Prattley, but the referees let it go. But obviously, then we could have stopped. We could have put a better challenge in, and we could have stopped them on the shot. But we changed our formation then to go to a back four, trying to chase the game a little bit more. And that's what we were doing. We were looking that way. You know, people will view this as a cracking game to watch because it was very competitive, the old way of doing it. And likewise, you know, sometimes you can't fight fire with fire. You play the other way and you've got to pass the ball. Maybe the pitch wasn't conducive for doing that and the risk factor of it. So, you know, we'll sit back, we'll reflect on it. We've got a point away from home. We needed the 3, you know, so that now takes it out of our hands. But stranger things have happened. There's plenty of twists and turns, as we all know. You know, used all the substitutions, changed the formation, tried to find a way to win a game of football, which would be different from the games that we've been playing so far. So that's fair to say. You know, it's easy to say after the event, but maybe if you turn around and say, well, let's play out from the back and let's try and pass all the way through, you could have got a good hiding today. But maybe you couldn't have done. That's the hindsight side of it, you know. But we've tried to approach the game in a certain manner, and the players have given everything, you know. So you can't fault the players for their effort and their commitment. And you have to do that when you come to places like Accrington Stanley.
See, the results elsewhere, I mean, as you've mentioned now, it's out of your hands. It's a big ask, but there's still that glimmer of hope, I guess, and that's what you have to try and cling on to now?
Well, whilst we've always got hope and belief, then that's something to cling on to. But from our point of view, it's learn the lessons from today's game. And then we'll get ourselves ready for the next one, which will be a cracker against Lincoln on Tuesday night at the Valley.
You went for the change in shape. Obviously, we saw that formation towards the end of the game on Tuesday, and it sort of gave new life into the performance. I mean, did you get the reaction as well you were hoping from that change in shape today?
Yeah, we changed today. You could see we were very big today because I've talked about the direct nature of the way Accrington play here on a smaller pitch. And you've got to deal with it. And I thought, you know, we've changed that way. Three big centre-halves in there to deal it. Because even they get the ball at the back, it's coming from all over the pitch. It's coming in the box and you've got to defend that. You know, so we've done that. We've done that pretty well because it was competitive in there. By playing three at the back, it allows you to get two centre forwards. This is the first game that I've been, you know, Connor came off after a minute at Wimbledon. This is the first game I could actually play Connor from the start with Jaden as a front two. Playing three at the back allows you to play that two a little bit more. And we changed the shape as we've gone. Liam on one wing, you know. So trying to get players on the pitch to find a way to score. And another day, it's a bit of Ryan's header just goes past the post. Could have changed the complexion. It didn't happen, you know. So, and that was the way the game was going to be. It was going to be a horrible game going into it. You have to do all the crappy things that go with it. But that's the important thing. You've got to be able to do that. And you've got to have the mentality. And the players have shown that mentality because it was a scrap. It was very stop-start. And it was very competitive.
Obviously, we saw that, you know, thinking about the 6-0 win at Plymouth a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, the performances, again, in the last two haven't been the same sort of games, have been very scrappy. Is it just at this stage of the season about finding any way to try and win a game and it hasn't quite happened?
Total different game. You look at the pitch that we played down at Plymouth, it was immaculate, and we played some great football down there, and we scored 6 goals, set up from a real good defensive press to win it and go and score. It was exceptional. And we talk about the Peterborough game. Peterborough just got promoted, so congratulations to them. For me, we've totally dominated the game against the team who normally dominate possession of the ball. We got the ball in the attacking third. We just didn't capitalise on the chances we had. You know, Lincoln, give Lincoln credit. Very young, enthusiastic, nothing to play for, but that's where they are. And they pass it about. We still did some really good things in there. However, didn't get the victory that we were after. But we've responded. Today is a total different game. And we've shown some adaptability to fight and scrap and play a different way. Which is what you needed to do today. So well done to the players' mentality coming into it and trying to find a way to win a game of football today in very difficult situation.
And obviously, looking ahead to Tuesday, you mentioned Lincoln and Hull on Saturday. They won't actually really have anything to play for after this. So did you think that can play into your hands?
No, everyone goes, crosses that white line, they'll want to win a game of football. So it's up to us to go and win a game of football. And we'll just get ourselves ready and prepare in the right manner for the next game, which is Lincoln on Tuesday. And they will present a load of different situations. But likewise, we've got threats. We've got to make sure that we can try and present the opposition those problems as well. And that's what we've been looking to do all the way through.
And obviously, I mean, Lincoln are one of the sides who are guaranteed for the playoffs. Charlton want to be in there and they want to be able to show that they can play against that calibre of side if they are to get there.
Well, I think we've demonstrated on our day we can play against anybody. And we can play very well against everybody. And over the course of the season, there's games that you've got to adapt your style with, to especially away from home. You've got to adapt that way. And today, coming here is always going to be difficult. You know, we've watched several of the games of them. You know, we've watched over the course of the year. This is a difficult place to come. It's high tempo. It's very direct from all over the pitch. You've got to defend your penalty area. You know, for all over the pitch that ball's coming in. And there's a lot of things when I look back, we've actually managed to nullify a lot of their things that they've gone and done. Talk about all the well in the world, you've got to nullify that. But then for me, we didn't, when we got the ball in the attacking half of the pitch, we didn't do enough with enough quality on the ball that we were looking for and what we were after.
Thanks, Nigel. Can I just ask about Ben Watson? He wasn't in the squad today. Has he picked up something or just rested?
He's fine.
Yeah.
You've seen the pitch there. I didn't think it was a conducive pitch for Ben Watson today. Yeah. He's fit and obviously travelling all the way up here, this, that, and the other. I didn't think I'd get him on the pitch. And obviously that means I've got a fit, fresh Ben Watson available for the next... Not that I'm not saying I'm going to play him, but I've got a fit, fresh, available Ben Watson for the next two games, which is, I think is sensible.
Yeah, Nigel, as he said, first hour, even for 75 minutes, up until their goal, really nullified a team that could play very direct, throws the ball into the box as much as they can. But going forward, as you said, it wasn't quite clicking.
No.
The three midfielders, I think, at the end of the first half, the only outfield player of Charlton's that had less touches with the ball was Jason Pierce. Was that the area you would have liked to see more control, or was it when the ball gets into attack? How would you feel that could
it was
be
very
better?
Difficult because you see, it was like stop-start, and it's like win the first ball, win the second ball, and they'd win it and hook it on, or we'd win it and hook it on, and we couldn't get in, and Connor got caught offside a couple of times. We thought we could have landed on that and got him in behind. We thought there'd be an opportunity to score from that. That didn't capitalise for us. It was always going to be one of them horrible games. That's the way it is. So you can think, oh, I'll stand off and we'll play. They're not going to have a chance to do that. You know, they're good at what they do. You've got to be able to deal with it. You know. So as I said, if it'd been maybe Plymouth's pitch, you can make it. It could have been a total different story. Mm. And how you'd approach the game once you've won it. But you've got to win the ball first of all. You know, and they make it very difficult. It's very stop-start to actually get a series of passes going together.
Yeah, and I guess that suited them because that's how they want to play, and that's unfortunately at Charlton at your best, you would obviously like to see them have control of the ball and play on the ground.
Yeah,
but just not today, I guess.
Sometimes you just got to realize. I mean, again, you look from here, but when you're actually on the pitch,
looks a bit rough from here.
Well, again, the lads, even the warm-up, you're coming in, and it's like definitely no back passes. Don't pass the ball
really,
backwards, just get it forward. Don't even think about it, you know. And that's coming from the players, and they're looking at it. So they're the ones who are out there. So, again, there's no confidence to go and play on it. So play the ball in certain areas of the pitch, play it in there half of the pitch.
That's
the big thing, you know. So, listen, if we'd won the game, you'd all turn around and say, brilliant, great mentality, great spirit, great... This is what you've got to go and do. Mm-hmm. And over the course of a season, this is what you've got to go and do. You've got to realise you've got to get your head on to come to places like this.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cassidy swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down, Bogle touchdown, Brett!
Hey!
Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down, Bogle touches it, and Darren Prattley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to rock, leave them behind. A little boy, Stella, who said I hate people. Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. Just for the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins, after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Accrington Stanley. He doesn't really change his tune. Obviously, he is a man who tries to bring positivity to the club and to the squad. And obviously, you know, the first thing he talked about was how we kept fighting to the end and all that. I mean, I must assume that he will have had some disappointments about that performance yesterday as well.
Oh yeah, greatly, because he would have maybe said, you know, I've set us up to win and it's not worked. But I think you then go get to half time at 0-0, it hasn't worked, you can say, right, let's change it straight away. Let's make, you know, the substitutions for formation changes, and then we've got 45 minutes to actually do something about it. It's he's right, but it's saying about, you know, not giving up to the end. I think that comes down to one or two of those players on the pitch. Say, like Albie, who hasn't been really that involved since he's come in, Atkins has come in, to say, right, I do have a slight point to prove that, you know, if I wasn't even making the match day squads, you know, this is what I can bring to a team. So you expect them to still have that kind of work ethic, because it wasn't impossible. I mean, he would have said to them, you know, the players aren't silly. They look at the league table, if they work out the permutations, probably not during the game, but they know, you know, the importance of that game yesterday. So whether they go, right, we've still got two games to go. I mean, we talked about six games, about six to go, and I was just saying, well, you know, you can afford to lose one, you can afford to lose it. And I was saying at the time, you just take it one game at a time, because before you know it, you're down to your last couple of games, and then you have and must wins. So he's going to get them positive, he's going to get them going. Hopefully Tuesday night he starts, possibly Washington, Miller, Stockley up front. You know, obviously we'll come to that game later on, but we've got to be more positive on Tuesday. And you know, if Lincoln score an early one, fine. We've still got to have the same positivity amongst the team, and then take it from there. I mean, just hope it rubs off in the changing room.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Nigel, you know, his early days, and I imagine most will be giving him time. But I mean, what have you learned about the new manager in the time he has been here? You know, obviously there'll be some things that people really enjoyed. Are there any things that you'd like to see him do differently? Or realistically, I don't know if you can judge him until he's had his summer to build a squad in the mould that he wants to see it in.
Well, that's it. You've got to have the right personnel, the right formation, the players who can do that. You want competition in places. So, you know, if he takes a broom and clears out, you know, half dozen, eight of them, then so be it, and then you can judge it. I'm old fashioned. I like when you play. I know it's not the way for football nowadays, because you know, you want your goalkeeper to play to your centre half in the own box, and he plays it back and it plays it to the side. And I like having two wingers. I always thought that we were a better team when we played with two wingers. The Sean Newtons, the John Robinsons, the Colin Walshes, people who stuck out on that side and did that job. I mean, even, you know, Lloyd Sams and people like that, Callum Harriots. Okay, the end thing, we wasn't always there, but we had that kind of winger. And then you're playing two up, and then you're giving the opposition that problem. You know, if you play one up and one off, it's easy now. It seems to be, football's changed so much in the last couple of years to try and play themselves out. I mean, it bit us on the backside big time when we played Wimbledon at their place, because it's something we don't do. You know, Fainwell made a mistake, yes, but it was just silly errors. I think yourself, you know, you play a back four, you know, and then you deal with it that way. Then if they're playing three up, you just tell one of your midfielders to sit a bit deeper and protect that back four. But then you get your wingers either side banging in the crosses. That's how you score the goals. I mean, you can have all the possession and playing all this lovely stuff in the midfield all you like, unless you've got someone who's up front who can put the ball away. You know, I've heard, you know, before the blackout, there was so many people talking about, you know, the difference would have been, you know, if Taylor had stayed, blah, 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 and if we'd had him as a striker this season, would he have been banging them in, kind of thing. I'm thinking, you can't look at it that way, because it's a pointless theory. All you got to look at is, it's not right, what are we going to do for the future? Because, you know, Stockley, I've said many times on the show, I'd like to put a bid in for him and just see if we can tempt him. I know with his contract and his money, blah, 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 but, you know, you just don't know. I think if he can bring in a couple of good players the next season, we can start with positive, because I think Nigel's a positive chap, and I think his positivity will rub off on players he interviews for positions to come. You know, when they talk to agents and say, and they get them in a room, I think it will benefit us.
Yeah, and it is probably time to start looking long-term, I think, for the supporters. But you never know. We will look ahead to that Lincoln game as well shortly. Let's have a look at some of the emails then that have come in. Steve Richards said it was a dismal performance against an average Accrington Stanley side. The 3-5-2 system didn't work from the start. Too slow to change it. Too slow to bring on subs. A double substitution in stoppage time helped grab a fortunate draw, but it probably is too little too late. The game was crying out for someone in midfield who could string passes together, but Shinny sat on the bench for the first 91 minutes. A horrible season with horrible football with no fans. Let's concentrate on the bigger picture, stable ownership, investment to come, but it does look like that Tom Wallin was right all along. And no one wants to see Tom right, but that's the way it goes. Right, McSquared says, all over. Well, we thought it was several weeks ago. It sadly is now. Yes, the pitch was bobbly. The ref was over fussy. Accrington played like Wimbledon of old, and we were sucked into playing their game. However, although we definitely weren't outplayed by them, we wouldn't have deserved to lose. You could say we clearly haven't been good enough this season. There's only one person ultimately to blame for that, and that's Roland Ratt. Thomas Sangar's takeover came too late, as did the damage to the squad that had already been done in the closed season, and there was too little time to recover. The transfer restrictions in January were the final nail in the coffin, as the change of manager was ultimately academic. The guys in the studio were right to say that a battling point away at Accrington would have usually been considered a decent result, but these are special circumstances resulting mainly from our dreadful home form. We will never know if having fans at the Valley, though, would have made any difference in that respect. Although we have a squad of hard-working and generally solid players, it's patently clear that we've got far too players with creative flair, and taking the Plymouth game out of the equation, that has been our biggest downfall in recent weeks. Yesterday's match looked like a battle between two mid-table sides, and that says it all. We just didn't have enough collectively as a team to break Accrington down. It can be of no surprise that our very late equaliser came from a set piece. Let's not forget that the three regulars in our starting 11, Stockley, Miller, Martson and Famer as well, actually, aren't even our players and are unlikely to be in our squad come the start of next season. In addition, some of our other signings, i.e. Ronnie Schwartz, haven't worked out. We have nothing really to lose in our final two games, so Nigel may as well play Stockley and Anike up together up top and see what happens. Anike is our best striker. We definitely look a far more potent force whenever he's on the pitch, as proven once again yesterday. Whatever happens, though, Thomas and Nigel will have a lot of work to do this summer in order to put together a squad capable of winning promotion next season. And taking everything into account, achieving promotion this season was always a bit of a pipe dream. We'll just have to be grateful that the club is now finally on a stable footing and we can look forward to the future. Let's face it, if Thomas hadn't taken control of the club when he did, we probably would be staring League Two in the face at the very least. That's from McSquared. Yeah, good points. Yeah, it's interesting, actually. The first two emails have both looked to start to look into the future, Mark. So I'm guessing now that it's been reality setting in for a lot of people now.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, it's not the kind of like disappointment of, oh, we've been in the top six all the way and we've just dropped out in the last moment. We haven't. We've been up and down, so you know, down quite low and up quite high. So if we'd been there all season, then yes, I think I'd be feeling a lot more disappointed. And it's good to see that people are recognising the reasons why it's not been that successful season. To a lot of fans are saying, "Oh, you know, how long are you going to blame that for?" I'm like, we're going to blame it until we're actually on an even keel.
Yeah, I mean, because that affects the whole season. It can't be a problem for only part of the season having transfer problems or whatever. The wage cap, that is an issue that affects the whole season. It doesn't stop 3 months after the transfer window, and then all of a sudden, well, I know it should be fine now anyway, because it is the same group of players, and I guess that's the point that we need to remember. Right, Phil says, "Hi guys, I cannot in my 45 years of supporting Charlton remember a squad of players or a team that I care less about than this one. Perhaps the pandemic has played a huge part in this. I've seen relegation sides play with more fluency than this. They simply at times seem unable to control, pass or keep possession of the football. Simply the vast majority of them are not good enough time to offer contracts to the half a dozen that are half decent and say thanks, but off you go to the rest." That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Right, Duncan Brand quite rightly is blaming me for what's happened over the last few days. It says, hi, my overriding emotions yesterday were frustration and resignation. It says a lot that when Chucks equalised, I didn't celebrate keeping our playoff chances alive. I moan that we missed a goal on Valley Pass as they were showing a replay of the foul. Frustrated that we haven't played well in the last two games when we could have gone a long way to securing our playoff spot. Frustrated that we conceded yet another goal to a midfielder running at our back four without anyone closing him down. Why did Gunter let him run into the box and not go and close him down? Frustrated with the number of points we've thrown away in the last minute, just like last season's Shrewsbury away last Tuesday and the penalty save by the Oxford keeper, which could be so crucial. Yeah, Swindon away in that mix as well. I'm sure there's others. Resignation that the team is not good enough, which is summed up by a woeful home form. Only 6 wins at home is shocking, especially in this very poor league. Finally, Louis, I hold you a little bit responsible for how things have gone since late in the game on Tuesday. I was listening to the BBC Radio London commentary when you took great delight in Accrington equalising against Portsmouth and then Crewe went and scored. Sums up our season. That's from Duncan in Orpington. I thought I'd got away with that because no one had mentioned it until just now. But I was, when Accrington equalised against Portsmouth, I was really enjoying it and laughing at John Marquis and you know, thinking, yes, we've done it. And then since then, it's all fallen apart. So yeah, hands up, partly or possibly fully my fault there. And final email comes from Carl. An awful performance in a must-win game. Nigel came in and talked about wanting to play possession football, and we spent the whole game aimlessly lumping it long. A few weeks ago, we were pressing all over the field, and it felt like you could see the creation of that identity that's been talked about. But over the last week, that's gone, and I can't understand the approach to games. I also appreciate that a number of these players won't be here anymore, but I still feel he should be embedding his style now and looking at these players through that lens. It felt like a couple of steps forward, and now I think we've taken them back again. That's from Carl. Right, thanks for all your emails. We'll have another quick break, and then we'll start to look ahead to Tuesday's, well, it literally is now, a must-win game against Lincoln City.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes.
It's a shot! Oh, great free kick! The power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half-time, make it 2. That you're gonna be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest or reason. Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to the final part of this week's Charlton Live. Potentially the penultimate Sunday show of the season in this, but there is a miracle and we get into the playoffs, but otherwise I imagine next Sunday show after the whole game, which is also on Sunday, so it's going to be a busy day, will be our final show of the season. We'll have a big match preview on Thursday, of course, where we'll be discussing whether we still have an outside chance of getting into the playoffs after the Lincoln game and looking ahead to that whole game, so make sure you join us for that. But I mean, the Lincoln game's coming up. I don't know if you've seen the replay of their game yesterday. The only bit I've seen of it is the penalty awarded to Peterborough right at the end. So obviously Lincoln had taken a 3-0 lead and they were looking pretty comfortable. And then the Posh got a couple back and then in the last minute scored a penalty. Now Sammy Schmodix, I think it was, went down. I mean, it is the worst penalty decision I've ever seen, Mark. I don't know if you've seen it, but Lincoln will be absolutely fuming after that, because if they'd won that game, they'd still have an outside chance of getting into that top two. Now, it does help us a little bit that they don't have that chance, and if they want, they can put out the reserves or the veterans or, you know, the kids, whoever they've got to put out, just to save their first team squad for the playoffs now.
Yeah, I had read about it. I hadn't seen it. I'm going to try and find it. Saying about the terrible, terrible penalty decision. I'm not sure with Lincoln. I can't find them. Well, in the paper somewhere.
Where they make finish? Notes and you can't find them.
Yep. No. So they could where they would finish in the playoffs, because they same points as Sunderland. So they'd want to really finish either third or fourth, so they have the second leg at home.
Yeah, and obviously that's an important thing for them. But if you're looking at the table, I mean Blackpool 74, so Blackpool could overtake them. Yeah, so I guess there is that to play for. I mean, how much emphasis do you think they put on that, though, considering, you know, with the home form not perhaps as clear-cut for everyone this season with no crowds? I don't know what the rules are for the playoffs, actually, if they might be able to squeeze a few in. I'm not sure if they may be. I'm not really bothered looking it up now that I don't think we're going to get there. But, I mean, do you think they'll worry too much about that?
Well, I think if they'll want to be going into those playoff games in a good run of form. I don't think he'll be looking too much to protect players, you know, towards that. So I think he'll be going guns blazing. I think they'll look to come and, you know, win and turn us over. I mean, they've won 13 away. They've got a good away record, Lincoln. It's going to be a tough one for us. But I can't see them slacking off in any way, because I don't think you want to. That's what, because we could come up against them again potentially in the playoffs. That's a thing. It's, you know, if we by miracles of miracles we beat Lincoln and then we beat Hull on the last day and we get in there, we could come up against Lincoln. You know, so it's they don't want to sort of like give any potential rival any kind of advantage now. So, you know, they know that on our day we can beat anybody. You know, we don't, but we can do. So I think it's going to be a tough game Tuesday. It's going to be a tough watch. We've got to keep it really tight for the first 10, 15, absorb it, because they'll do what the other teams have done to us recently, which is hit us with high intensity, high pressure, first 10, 15 minutes and try and get a goal. You know, it worked for Peterborough. They scored early doors. And, you know, we were lucky against Ipswich, we held out. We were sort of like fairly lucky against Crewe, we held out. But, you know, Lincoln are going to be another proposition. So I think it's keep it tight, keep it no silly mistakes, and don't let a midfielder run 40 yards and whack one into the top corner.
Yeah, and I mean, from us, did you want to see us go back to that 4-3-3 that we've utilised over the last few weeks? Obviously, you know, knowing that the DJ's out, we haven't really got anyone of any calibre to play on that other side of the front three.
No, I'd go 4-4-2, and almost like that, but four almost like a diamond though, and have Gilby sitting at the top of a diamond, and Watson at the base. So as much as it sort of like burns me to say it, I think, you know, Watson was a miss. So I think he'll come back in Tuesday. I think is one of the reasons Nigel did tweak a bit. I think he did have one eye on Tuesday, and I think Watson ought to be a better player in sitting in front of a back four.
I think I've possibly been a bit harsh on Ian Martson there when I said we have no one of any calibre, because I did forget he came back, but he was quite anonymous actually in the last two games. So I think I've got an excuse for that. Right, we've gone over time actually on this week's Charlton Live. So thanks to all of you who've listened to the very end after a very boring game. So you really are absolute troopers for going this far. Marks, thanks for joining us on the show this week.
You're welcome, mate. Let's look positive.
Yeah.
Keep smiling. Birds are singing.
Yeah.
Birds Sun's singing.
Shining. It's nearly summer break, so we don't have to watch this rubbish anymore. Let's look forward to that. Right, thanks to all of you who've listened to the end of the show. I'm Louis Mendes. We'll be back on Thursday to look back at the Lincoln game and discuss our quite remarkable ascension to the playoffs after two amazing wins. Oh, it might not happen. You never know. Right, we'll see you on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.